Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we are live on American Freedom Radio. And I'm going to have two very interesting guests, and the topic of discussion is going to be quite fascinating. So it's great to be here tonight. Just before I start off, let me say that we've got John Moore, who is quite well known as a radio show host and, well, known for a lot of other things, I imagine, as well as an American patriot, I think, is also in that bag. And Mike Harris, who is a talk show host, and they're both on Republic Broadcasting, so we're kind of poaching another station's hosts here, and hopefully they won't lose their minds over that, but it should be a positive thing, kind of a good blowback going in the direction of Republic Broadcasting. At any rate, welcome, Mike, and welcome, John.
Thank you, Carrie.
Yeah, thank you, Carrie. Thank you very much for having us.
Okay, and so we've got two men with wonderful voices for the radio here. So what I'd like to do, first of all, is we know that John has the most limited time. So, John, if you wouldn't mind, just launch into a brief bio about yourself, and then I'd like to sort of get right to the topic at hand.
Well, sure. As I sometimes tell people, Carrie, U.S. Military Intelligence School took my 19-year-old pile of mush brain in 1967 and made something useful of it. They made it into a research tool. I did a three-year tour of duty in U.S. Army, military intelligence, special forces, a tour in Vietnam. Left the Army, got my degree as a legal assistant, and shortly thereafter I was recruited by the state of Missouri to become a homicide detective, finding myself doing my first murder investigation as a 25-year-old in 1973. These past 40 years I've investigated everything you can imagine, both civil matters, criminal matters, murders, and it's been quite a career. Starting in 1995, I became a radio talk show host part-time with WGNU 920 on the dial, St. Louis, Missouri. And I've been with Republic Broadcasting now. I think this is year number six or seven. I kind of lost track of that. It's been quite a ride, my life, my career, the things I've done, and a lot of fun along the way. Met a lot of interesting people. Going back to Tuesday, the 10th of July this year, 2 weeks ago, yesterday, one of my confidential informants called me up and told me about a person who is a spouse of a Department of Defense employee. And the dependents were asked to attend a briefing, a classified briefing, which began with all the dependents signing a non-disclose agreement. At the briefing, Carrie, these dependents were told that about something called Nibiru, which is also called Wormwood or Planet X or the Destroyer Star, that this planetary-sized object would soon be causing massive flooding on all coastal areas, that they would be getting notification for emergency evacuation. They may have as much as 2 weeks' notice. They may not. They could bring one carry-on item and one piece of luggage, and they would be told they would be abandoning all their other personal and private property. That was followed up by another confidential source. This came from a fellow radio talk show host, by the way, who told me about a Department of Homeland Security insider that basically verified what I said about the briefing for dependents. Keeping in mind, this is not all people in the military, not all people with the Department of Defense getting these briefings are their dependents. It would only be those part of continuity of government contingency planning, which is a very tiny percentage of people, either civilian employees or people in the military, either one, probably no more than 1 or 2%. So that's in a real Reader's Digest version what I bring to the table that I can talk about publicly. I continue to get more information. The phone rings off the hook. One thing I can share with you, a sighting of two United Nations military convoys in Minnesota the last 2 days. The men driving the trucks were wearing camouflage uniform, wearing helmets, which American GIs would almost never do in the States. And the armored vehicles appeared to have weapons mounted on them covered with canvas. It's hard to say what's under the canvas, but that appears to be the case of what was going on there. I have more reports that I'm working to verify before I go public with them. I don't like to put information out there that hasn't been vetted to my satisfaction. So that's, in a nutshell, what I got to say.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, John Moore, because I've talked to Mike Harris, obviously, and he's on the line here with us. But before we go over to him, he said that he gave you, he was at least one of your sources. Are you saying that you've got other sources aside from the briefing?
I got two sources independent of Mike, right.
Okay, very good. And I'm just curious in terms of what you think about why, for example, you and Mike might be the only two people that are being informed out there and are speaking out about this.
Well, I can give you a list. I just can do it off the air of one, two, three... three radio talk show hosts and a station owner that have the same, similar information.
Okay. Are they speaking out?
Well, I don't listen to their shows. I was on one last night,
right.
and they were speaking out, both the owner and the talk show host. I'll be on tomorrow evening with Randy Yarborough. He's on a commercial station out near Denver someplace. And Paul Martin, who has his own radio show. These men are all speaking out publicly. They don't have the outreach that Republic Broadcasting does, so they're not nearly as well known.
I understand. But what I'm curious about is, are there sources of information, yourself and Mike?
They have, yes. Paul Martin is developing his own sources. We work closely together. Randy Yarborough is developing sources of his own. Another radio talk show host, Andy Russ, R-U-S-S, is developing his sources.
Okay. Very interesting. Can you tell me the briefing that they received? How close was that source to you that gave you that information?
My source overheard the dependent who talked about being at the briefing.
Okay, so they overheard. Can you classify that to some degree? In other words, is that hearsay or is that something?
No,
hearsay would
be one person in between them.
Uh huh.
That's hearsay is would be well, it's not hearsay.
Okay, no.
Hearsay would be if Mike overheard the person talking. Mike Harris is on the line right now. If Mike overheard the dependent talking, and then you heard Mike talking about what Mike heard, that would be hearsay.
Right. Okay, but my source
directly heard the person talking about the briefing.
Okay, and they were involved in the briefing?
Well, they were there. Yeah.
Okay, that was my question. Okay, and the person who was involved in the briefing, was that a military person or was that a civilian?
The person that my source heard was the spouse of the Department of Defense employee.
Okay. Okay, but the spouse was in the briefing, or the husband?
Well, the dependents had their own briefings.
Separate.
Well, I guess maybe the spouses could attend too, but they had a special briefing set up just for the dependents.
Okay, and then what about the husband? Has anybody tried to contact him directly?
No, and this is the way they keep secrets, Carrie. It's a combination of promises and threats. The promise of a paycheck. And a pension, the threat of losing a paycheck and a pension, and possibly worse.
Right. Okay. Were you given a timeline? Because, as you know, Mike was given very specific dates.
He was given very specific dates, and I was not given any specific dates. No, I was not.
Okay. But you were told that this was imminent on some level, it sounds like.
Well, you wouldn't do a briefing like this, Carrie, a year in advance or even 6 months in advance, for the main reason being the chance of people talking about what they're becoming knowledgeable of, and it would serve no purpose anyway. This would be something done no more than 30 to 90 days before the event.
Okay, interesting. Now, were you led to believe before you heard from Mike that this was going to be an incoming planetary body?
They specifically talked in the briefing about Nibiru, specifically.
Okay, so they labeled it as Nibiru.
Right, right.
Okay, that's very interesting. You must know whether or not, I don't know if you know, but what is your understanding of the information you got from Mike Harris? Do you want to relate that, or, and then we'll get Mike to fill in,
Mike can speak for himself, but Mike's information is very complimentary and fits hand in glove with what I'm getting, which is what got our both of our attention. Things we learned in military intelligence school and as a homicide detective, Carrie, what do you look for in any investigation are witnesses who don't know each other saying the same thing.
Absolutely. And Camelot does the same thing. So we are always looking for that. And that's part of the reason I wanted you guys to come on here together. I was trying to get Dr. Deagle on here. I know that Mike was his source for information, but I understood Dr. Deagle also possibly had some other sources. He has put me off for the time being. I think he's being very cautious. Initially, he accepted, and then he wasn't able to be here tonight, so I'm hoping to get him on at some point. Are you in touch with Dr. Deagle either?
I am. I'm on with Dr. Deagle every Friday, the third hour of his show, and I have been for nearly 4 years now or so.
Okay.
So I'm in weekly contact with him at least.
Right. Okay. And would you say that he has some other sources besides Mike?
His career, Dr. Deagle's career has put him in places that you would read about in novels.
Just in case you don't know, I've interviewed him, so I know Dr.
Yeah,
Deagle.
And the confidence of your being your doctor, people will tell things they would never talk about otherwise. So he's had some very privileged access through his career as being a medical doctor and met some interesting people along the way.
Okay, now one last thing before we give Mike a chance to talk, and I apologize to Mike, but I am trying to get John, thoroughly vetted here, so that, or whatever, so that we could.
Carrie, no worries, Tom's. John's time is restricted, so go ahead, make hay while the sun shines, and get all the information out of him you can get.
Okay. Okay, so appreciate that. Anyway, Cliff High has written, I don't know if you know who Cliff High is, John.
I know who he is. I've been reading his material for years.
Excellent. Okay.
I read what he wrote about my interview.
Yeah.
And
he said he actually called you to task on the notion of the briefing, which, right. Look, you're relaying information. This is not your you're not to be blamed for whether he thinks something is logically done or not. What do you think about that?
Well, here's what Cliff High wrote. He said that if the military was being briefed, there would be so many tens of thousands of them that they couldn't keep a secret. If that's what's going on, that what Cliff High was saying would be true. But that's not what's going on. There's maybe 1 or 2% of military people are involved in what's called continuity of government contingency planning. So Cliff High is mistaken. It's not all the military. It's a very tiny, tiny, maybe 1%, approaching 2% that's being briefed. So he's all wet with that.
All right. And I appreciate that. And hopefully, if he's not listening at the moment, he'll someone will get him and get him to listen right away. In fact, if we could get Cliff High sometime in the next 2 hours to call into the show, that would be a lot of fun.
Be sure, if you get him, if you offer him a piece of pie, he will show up.
Okay, I'll remember that.
Well, if you read his stuff, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, at any rate, since I have you, John, and I really would like to prevail upon you to maybe come on my show in the future because you're obviously a very knowledgeable individual, and I know you have your own show and you're very popular over there. But the Camelot audience would get a big thrill out of hearing a lot more from you than what we're going to get today. So So please keep that in mind for the future.
I'll do that, Carrie. But there, something we touched on that I need to maybe emphasize for your listeners. Us radio talk show hosts, we have a private network that has become a private intelligence network. We've known each other for years. We've worked with each other for years. I've been a guest on these different shows with these different talk show hosts. And in the process of that working relationship, we grow to know each other, trust each other, and share information and share what we get from our sources.
Okay.
So this private network is kicking in. And I'm working with these various radio talk show hosts around the country, each one of whom has their own network of sources and contacts. And it's been a very gratifying thing to see this come together with no pre-planning or no structure of any kind, other than the fact we know each other, we trust each other, and we want to make sure we get the information out. So Mike Harris is part of this, Andy Russ is part of this, Randy Yarborough, Paul Martin, and there's probably going to be some others added as we move along, but that's the network I'm working with.
Okay, and isn't Dr. Waterman, the name he goes by, Dr. Waterman, also in that network?
Not in mine. It might be with Mike.
Oh, I see. Okay, I thought perhaps you guys knew each other.
We don't.
Okay, fine. All right, well, at any rate, I'm glad to find out about the network, and I'm sure everyone is interested to hear about
it. I need to include Dr. Butch Powell also.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, any of those individuals that do end up to have some information about this particular planetoid, or whether it's Nibiru or whether it's an incoming object, are welcome to come on my show. We do have an interruption here. I hope you can stay with us, John.
Okay, I'm with you.
In 2010, millions of people were awakened to the question of what. Now the next question that remains to be answered is, why in the world are they spraying? An investigative look into one of the many agendas associated with chemtrail geoengineering programs, weather control. Why in the world are they spraying? Premiering and streaming live August 18th at the 3-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying? Order your copy today at www.whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com. Watch the premiere live August 18th at the 3-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Are you completely fed up with being dependent on those fat cat electricity monopolies that raise your rates again and again? Are you terrified about how you'll keep your home and family safe when a power crisis happens? 123/power.com has set up a free video presentation that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they are, incompetent lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. The video at 123/power.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret to slash your power bill and beat the electricity monopoly for good. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123/power.com and discover one weird trick to cut your power bill and protect your home. Easy to remember, 123/power.com. Go watch the video now before they shut it down. Again, that's 123/power.com.
The year 2012 brings an ending and a new beginning to social, political, economic, and geological cycles for America and the world. The living prophecy that we are now voyaging through has many names ascribed to it. The Hopi say it's the closing of the fourth world of destruction, moving into the fifth world of peace. The Maya declare that we enter the fifth world age, the age of the center. All common themes in the array of prophecy that we are processing and purifying all the imbalances of the dying world age. We are transcending an era founded on duality, and we have turned away from the great spirit, resulting in greed, corruption, blind materialism, and disconnection from each other and Mother Earth. Collectively, we are poised at the brink of a world age rebirth in which we enter new domains of consciousness and manifestation, redeeming all the previous ages. Let's all join together to bring the vision of peace and love into reality, because we are the future, we are the heroes, and that we are who we have been waiting for.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Hi, this is Roxy Lopez. I'm the host of the Truth and Night talk show, Mondays and Fridays, 7 to 9 Central. Join us right here on the American Freedom Radio Network.
Been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one.
Hi there, this is Curiosity, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. And we are talking to John Moore and Mike Harris about this incoming planetary object that some people are calling Nibiru, and trying to compare notes, which is what all of us should be doing if we have information on the subject. And this way we can get to the bottom of the exact what is exactly true and what isn't. At the moment, where we were at was sort of looking at the dates, August 17th, and then we were talking about, you know, what else you might know or what Deagle might have been bringing to the table. Do you know about the telescopes that he's been talking about, John Moore?
Well, another friend of mine is Professor James McCanny. Professor McCanny is a credentialed astrophysicist. And he's very knowledgeable of these matters from the point of view of a real credentialed scientist. There's quite a few of these telescopes. The ones that we're looking at the moment are in the Southern Hemisphere. In fact, one of the astronomers working for the Brazilian government has gone public that he's seen the 10th planet and is observing it. The Vatican, by the way, has at least three, possibly four, professional-grade astronomical observatories, and of course in the Antarctic there's been a lot of that kind of activity for a number of years. So the real emphasis is on the Southern Hemisphere. There's also been a number of astronomers who've been either murdered or died in very suspicious circumstances. One of these observatories was burned to the ground, by the way. There's a very concerted effort to keep this information from going public as long as possible, on one hand. On the other, you'll if you're active on the internet, you'll see lots of people claiming to have taken images of the 10th planet, and they're in the Northern Hemisphere, which at the moment can't be done. They're taking images of something, but not the 10th planet. And they also claim to have found images on various NASA satellite feeds and things like that. That's not going to happen. That's very carefully controlled, and the public is not going to be allowed to access that kind of information directly from NASA. And so I don't know specifically what Dr. Deagle was talking about, and don't speak for him, but these observatories are in the Southern Hemisphere. They're observing it 24/7, along with space-based observation platforms like the Hubble and others.
Okay, I want to say here that Cliff High has written to me. I just stumbled on his email. Apparently is listening, or someone close to him is. He says, continuity of government, 1% to 2% of military equals 300,000 personnel. That is a serious number of people. There are 3 million military personnel. Thanks more to dispute having been through it with Cuban Missile Crisis.
Whoa. We have 3 million people in the military. We got the decimal point in the wrong place there.
Okay.
The number would be 30,000, not 300,000.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Cliff, if you want to call in, let me see. There's a call-in number on the radio on American Freedom Radio here, and you're welcome to do so.
Keep in mind, Carrie, almost 200,000 people, including my father and grandfather, worked on the Manhattan Project, not knowing, having a clue what they were working on. Not a clue.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, the government can very effectively keep secrets. My father and grandfather were plumbers working at Oak Ridge, Tennessee. They were part of the Manhattan Project. They got a nice little certificate signed allegedly by President Truman, thanking him for their time. But yes, the government can keep secrets very effectively, and they've known how to do that for decades. They use compartmentalization, they use promises, they use threats, and yes, they can do that.
Okay, let me just put the number out there in case Cliff High wants to call in. It's 218-339-8525. And I believe, I don't know for sure, but it looks like we've got Stu Webb also holding on here. Do you guys know Stu Webb?
I don't believe I do. Mike?
I don't either.
Okay, I don't know if it's Stu Webb for sure, but there's a guy named Stu who's come on the call-in line. I'm going to hold off on picking that up just to get to a few more questions here before we do that. So bottom line here, John, what's your understanding about if this were true, and if indeed there would be, tsunamis, earthquakes, and possibly, some volcanic action. I'm not sure if that's part of it. As a result of this, and that would be, very shortly, because this is coming August 17th, is not so far around the corner, and neither is 30 to 90 days. With no notice whatsoever, what do you think that we're talking the whole world, not just America. I mean, going to affect, although they might be briefing a certain part of the American military, and we've got a foreign military person who is reporting information to Mike. And I don't know. I had an incident where you might have heard about it, or maybe you didn't, in which we're still trying to find out if the NSA whistleblower that we've been getting information from has information specifically on this. He did give me information saying that Nibiru was part of a system which would be surrounding a brown dwarf that was out somewhere around the Kuiper Belt, and that was he said it was manageable. I'm not sure what manageable means, but coming from the military, that could mean anything. What do you think?
Well, I'm not sure what the word manageable in terms of they can get their people to a safe haven, or do they mean they're going to send up Bruce Willis to blow the thing up? I mean, what what are we talking about here?
Yeah. Well, obviously, I don't know what we're talking about, to be honest. Okay. I'm throwing that out because you're sort of traveling in these circles.
Right. I don't believe Bruce Willis is on standby to blast off and blow up this rock. I don't think that's part of the program.
Okay. All right, Mike, why don't you come forward at this time, and I'd love to hear John's response to your new information. I don't know, have you shared this second new source with him at all?
Well, yeah, John and I appeared on his radio show this morning. I got up an extra hour early, so instead of getting up at 4:30, I got up at 3:30 to be on John's show, which I was not happy about. But then John agreed to stay. John agreed to stay on for my show, so we stretched it into a 2-hour joint show, and it turned out very good. We got a lot of good information out. But I was clued into this probably somewhere between 60 and 90 days ago by a director-level individual who runs, manages, sets policy for a foreign intelligence agency who, because of my association with Veterans Today, I have the ability to talk to. And you know, I may have told you this before, Carrie, but Veterans Today is, you know, there's over 150 contributors to it, 70% of which are former or current intelligence types. And so I get access to some really first-class, world-class individuals. And this particular man told me that, you know, to be wary, to be careful, that he gave me the dates of August 17th and September 26th as dates when this thing would be passing near to Earth, and to just make sure that I was out of cities and that I was away from the coast and that there would be earthquakes, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that started a cascade effect in my little mind to where I wanted to know more. So I started reaching out to others within the network, and I found an active source within the U.S. government. I won't name agencies or individuals, but who confirmed that and said that this is coming from the south and is going to primarily affect for earthquakes Southeast Asia. That's where the a great deal of this activity is going to occur. And I was fishing for stuff, and the more I fished, the more they clammed up. But that's how I got involved in this, and it was quite accidentally because we were on a different subject. But then I've dug deeper, and the other concern that is that as this thing passes through the asteroid belt on its way here, that it's disturbing asteroids that have been in stable orbits for a very long time, and it's like when the cue ball hits the balls on the pool table, and they all go everywhere, and that they're looking at these things going helter-skelter throughout the inner solar system versus the outer solar system. And that's my latest and greatest as of this morning.
Okay, but when I spoke to you, and I want to be careful, Mike, in case there was something you said to me that you don't want out over the air, but you did say that the second source, which you haven't really described what level he's involved in, you did say he was American, right?
American, and anyone who knows the American structure will know that anyone who's a GS-16 or above is a high-level guy.
Okay, so you're saying he's a high-level guy. I assume, yeah. Is this in the military or in intelligence?
I can't give any more information because I don't want to burn the guy.
All right, fine. Now, what you did tell me was that this guy had basically corroborated the August 15th, 17th date, is that correct?
This guy had said those dates are approximately correct, that, it's an inexact science that was explained to me, but for planning purposes, plus or minus a week either way is good for him.
Guys, I need to bail out of here because I got to get up at 0:30 to be on the radio.
Okay, so we do, John, just so you know, Cliff, I've encouraged him to call in, so it looks like he actually might be here at this moment, so let me double check. I don't know if you want to encounter
him.
I'll
say hi to him. I have a lot of respect for Cliff and his work. I've been following it for years.
Oh, come on, okay. John, you can stay up past your bedtime just once. Come on.
Give us 15 minutes. We got, let's see, Cliff, are you there?
Sure, yeah.
Hi there, how are you?
Doing fine. I'll be a bit noisy for a second because I'm cooking here, but I just thought I'd bring up the math. I don't want to dispute anybody's position, and it's not like I'm disrespecting anybody that has ever written for Veterans Today. You know, my issue is that I lived through this kind of thing in the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I saw it fall apart. And the argument that, well, we've had the Manhattan Project and so on, yeah, there were a huge number of people that worked for it, but it was the most open secret on the planet. it was not like it was wasn't known out here in the West. It wasn't like we didn't know what was going on here when Hanford started getting all involved and all of this. This was, you know, everybody thinks it was a large secret, and it was not written about in the mainstream press, but it was not unknown, and there's a big difference. And having gone through the Cuban Missile Crisis in a situation where my father's work placed us in the category of snatch your butt and throw you in a bunker, I know how it goes. And you call your aunts and your grandmothers and so on, and they call somebody and they spill the beans. And that latter effect goes so rapidly that there should by now, within, I would think, even hours of such a meeting, there should be several sources. Within days, there should be perhaps hundreds. And you're talking, if you're talking continuity of government and dependence, you're probably talking well over 200,000 people.
Okay, John, what do you say to that?
Well, my sources are reliable, and I stand behind them. And that's pretty much my...
Okay, so what we're really talking about, Cliff, wouldn't you agree, is the fact that this is not being picked up by the mainstream news?
No, actually, there's other issues here involved, okay?
All right.
And there's the science component of it at two different levels. An object unseen I can buy because I understand Dr. Bott's heliocentric versus helical-centric model. So you could have something sneak in from the south, and there are not a lot of astronomers that look that way. So I can cover that, right? Our population base is not down that far. However, there's the issue of the charge, okay, the electric charge. This is the thing that even the Mayans wrote about when Venus was captured. The giant electrical arcs of a body intruding, causing a huge level of charge disruption in our solar system. If there were such a body, we would have these electrical disruptions that would occur as giant lightning strikes. And in fact, the Grand Canals on Mars, or excuse me, the Grand Caves on Mars, their version of a Grand Canyon, was probably created by such lightning strikes in a planetary level. And we have seen no such discharges. So I do not buy the planetary thing coming on in, and I've seen so much coming out of CFR that I know they are using that as a disinfo thing. Go and read their documents for the last 3 or 4 years. You don't even have to read between the lines, and you'll find that they intend to use this in their control mechanisms.
Okay, very interesting. John Moore and Mike, because both of you are sort of implicated here because of your sources, first of all, there should be some more sources coming forward. I have to agree with that one. I don't know why you guys have kind of been out there on your own, more or less, with the source material, so to speak. I am working on mine, but I don't have anything hard and fast at the moment.
Well, Carrie,
what about the notion of the electrical charge? I'm not a scientist.
Carrie, let me make a statement here first addressing this. And, you know, John is probably on the same page as I am, but he'll have to speak for himself. Whenever I got this information, you know, I've been told to keep a quiet, stand down, but... And maybe I'm being played, and that's something that I have to deal with, is that maybe I'm being played, maybe I'm being discredited. But if I sit quiet on this, then I'm creating an air of being remiss in not reporting what's been told to me. And if they're using me for disinformation, then that's what it is. I'll take the hit. You know, I'm not going to...
Okay, we'll be right back. Thank you so much, Mike. We'll be right back.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
I want to tell you about something really, really cool. It is silvercoins.ag. Now, AG is the symbol for silver on the periodic table of elements. Silvercoins.ag is the new website for cheap silver coins. Silvercoins.ag automatically serves popular online retailers for silver coin bargains based on the minute-to-minute fluctuations of the silver market. Silvercoins.ag focuses on silver purchases from $5 to $50, but of course, big junk silver bags and monster boxes are available too. Purchases can generally be done using a credit card or even PayPal, so you have multiple layers of buyer protection. Silvercoins.ag has no annoying salesmen. Silvercoins.ag has live streaming metal prices, so you don't have to refresh your browser all day long. Stop the endless web surfing for the best silver coin deals, because now you can visit and bookmark silvercoins.ag. I use it. I want all your friends to use it. You tell them Jack Blood sent you.
I have this feeling, man, because you know there's a handful of people actually run everything. That's true. It's provable. Handful, very small elite run and own these corporations, which include the mainstream media. I have this feeling who's ever elected president, like Clinton was, no matter what your promises you promise on the campaign trail, blah, 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 when you win, you go into this smoky room with the 12 industrialist capitalist scum who got you in there, and you're in this smoky room, and this little film screen comes down. And a big guy in a cigar rolled a film. And it's a shot of a Kennedy assassination from an angle you've never seen before. That looks suspiciously off the grassy knoll. And then the film, the screen goes up, and the lights come up, and they go to the new president. Any questions? Just what my agenda is. First we bomb Baghdad. You got it.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Your frequency is ascending with Strange Universe Radio, the most popular internet program in the galaxy. Weeknight, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time, with your host, Sean David Morton.
Whistleblower Radio, and we are live with John Moore and Mike Harris talking about a very important subject, and we should still have Cliff High on the line. Cliff, are you still there?
Yes, still here.
Excellent. Okay, we just wanted to, I think, reply briefly to your talk about the electrical universe. I believe John Moore has something to say about that. Go right ahead, John.
Yeah, well, Cliff, what you're saying is absolutely scientifically accurate. Our solar system and the universe is electrically charged. And the ancients did observe these lightning bolts that you describe, and they wrote about them. So, yes, what you're saying is absolutely true, and it's also true that this has not yet happened. That's also true.
Okay, how about the idea that it's in the infrared spectrum and possibly being cloaked, and I'm not sure by what?
Well, not cloaked as in Star Wars, but there's a cloud of red dust, I guess you could best describe it, and the visible light spectrum, you can see this object a very few weeks of the year. The rest of the time, you can see it in the infrared light spectrum if you've got the right equipment.
Okay, but because I've got all of you guys on here, I've actually been talking to somebody, a scientist who has a little bit of background in physics, and he's been giving me some background on all of this. I was told that, Mike, you said that it was now in the, right now, as we speak, in supposed to be somewhere in the middle of the asteroid belt.
It's approaching and coming through the asteroid belt. That's what I was led to believe by my U.S.-based source, not by my overseas source.
Okay, and then the idea being that it arrives around August 17th, that would mean what I'm told to ask all of you is a total orbital period for the object to go around the sun. Is this information needs to be known? And also, you're saying what it's going to be closest to Earth on August 17th. How close? When is it going to be close to the sun? And that what basically this the individual said is that if knowing this information, they must know the orbit. In other words, the elliptical orbit of this object.
That's quite correct, Carrie. You're keyed in there. If you know 3 points and it's and configure a date that comes within even a 2 week period of time, you should be able to track it down to the minute.
Mike?
Well, what I was told is that this thing is coming in at an extraordinarily high rate of speed, so high that the people who are observing it were surprised by how fast it is.
And if they know how fast it is, they know where it is, they know it. If they know how fast it is, they obviously know its orbit zone to the...
What to predict it's going to be, I understand. But that's the information that I was given, and that's really it. You know, they're...
Let me ask you, just maybe even John, if you could address this or anyone else. My understanding is we're actually talking about something that could be appear to be a natural object. It could be it's supposed to be around the size of the moon, is what I was also told. I guess that was by Mike, and that it could appear to be a natural object, but actually it could be being targeted. It could be, in other words, it going at a fast rate of speed, an unusually fast rate of speed suddenly. In other words, it doesn't sound like what's going. It doesn't sound like the brown dwarf. It doesn't sound like it's going around a brown dwarf. It's an object on its own by what you're describing.
Well, see, Carrie, one of the things that John and I discussed this morning on the radio was that one of my personal challenges is that I don't know what is good information and I don't know what's disinformation. So I take all these data points in and then I have to try to sort them out. And I'm still in that process. I've not solved this riddle yet.
Okay. Just offhand, John, are you being told this is a natural object?
I've never heard anything otherwise from any source that I would trust. No, never.
Okay, so what's being briefed? And can you imagine, though, that a military briefing would not necessarily tell people the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Well, it happens all the time. I've debriefed 24 Navy veterans who were told to prepare for worldwide coastal flooding during their lifetimes. None of them were told how it would happen or why. They were just told that it would happen during their lifetimes.
Okay, it is interesting, Cliff, don't you think, that all of this information you've got, you've just gone public with what you're calling a coastal event that sometime results, at least between now and 2013, that coincides with Courtney Brown's information from his remote viewers, which is between now and sometime around June of 2013, the result of whatever this is, and maybe it's multiple things, is supposed to cause a sweeping of the coast, a possible inland waterway around Sacramento, I think you said, a flooding, you said torrential rains in the central part of the United States. I don't know what we're talking about worldwide, because I haven't heard your whole briefing, Cliff. But basically,
it's pretty much that spread around the planet. Now, the issue is multiply complex because we need not postulate any incoming object. I really wish it were, because here's the thing. If it were an object that were passing, we would know decades in advance. We'd be able to prepare. We'd be able to see it come, and then we'd see it go, and we would be done with it. Instead, what we've got is a situation where most people think that all of us orbit on our planet around the middle of the sun, this heliocentric model. In fact, we are trailing behind the sun very much like a comet drags debris. And so we are in a helical orbital pattern, which alters our perspective on how the planets interact. And thus, everything we see happening on all the planets is explainable by the simple stated condition that the sun has entered a new area of interstellar media that is different than before. The Russians have been talking about this since late 80s. Every time we hear the Planet X stuff and we hear the large body discovered here and there and so on, we are getting either direct disinformation, in my opinion, so far, or we're getting this scientific echo that does not actually exist. They are postulating things based on their understanding, based on an understanding that is given to them that we are in a heliocentric orbit, in which case their math means that none of our movements make sense unless there is a large body out there. However, you can eliminate that totally. All of their math problems go away if you remove the heliocentric and go to a helical-centrical model. And in 1949, Dr. Bott started publishing his results, and I bet you can get Nassim Harriman to agree with me, we do not orbit the equatorial plane of the sun. It's kind of like this guy, Max Planck. They developed prizes around him. He came up with Planck's constant, and Planck's constant is based on an experiment in which they used a cube. Buckminster Fuller did the same experiment and used a tetrahedral shape and got the exactly prescribed, without any deviation, numbers that should have come out, and Max Planck's constant was only required if you chose to use a cube. So it's an issue of your perspective on what's going on here. If you're in a helical-centrical model versus a heliocentric, different conditions make sense. And we are going to get the global coastal event and all of that kind of stuff makes sense. It makes sense also because, see, here's the deal. If we're all being trailed behind the sun in a cometary fashion, then we have actually been shifted because, in my opinion, we've entered this denser area of space. It's kind of pushed our cone all together, and so we're closer to all the crud from the asteroid belt, so we're likely to get a lot more hits.
Well, Cliff, I hope you're right, because it would be a blessing to have 6 to 8 or 9 more months before this thing happens.
No, it isn't that way. The issue is quite precisely described by Courtney Brown's experiment. It has happened. The first wave has happened by June 1 of 2013. Okay, we don't know when it happens. It'll happen between December and June, but it has happened by June. So we do not have any time beyond December, we think, to prepare. Some point beyond that, something is going to occur. We just don't know.
I'll take 6 months as opposed to...
I'll take that as well. Yeah, I enjoy that opinion as well.
I'll take that as well, but let me ask you guys, John more specifically, but the others as well, simply because we have a limited time with John here tonight. Let me ask you, if your sources have any kind of scientific background such that they can sort of vet the information they're getting or even relay it scientifically, in other words, because this is where it breaks down, is when you look at the science. In other words, Cliff's explanation begins to make sense out of it.
I understand. My friend Professor McCanny is a credentialed astrophysicist, and I'll let Professor McCanny speak for himself and his books speak for himself, and I'll just let it go at that. The sources I was talking about initially, these are just people. They're just people. They have no scientific credentials other than they probably went to a high school science class.
Is it possible, though, that a party line is being put out there by the military to these people because, for some reason or other, they don't want to reveal this other information that you're talking about, Cliff?
Well, they can't. They can't. I would agree with that, and I would agree that they would do everything they could to provide a series of stepping stones up to the very last point that they bolt to the holes and slam the door shut, as anybody who's been involved with the military knows how that thinking goes. Right. If you're in a siege mode and you're going to have to close up the keep, you have a series of defenses you plan to keep people at bay as you retreat into it. Correct, sir?
That's true. Absolutely.
Well, this time we're not dealing with physical defenses. We're talking about psychological defenses and ways to keep people from finding the hidey holes and wanting to get down there and so on. Imagine the panic that's going to come out. The Russians have taken care of this. The Russians have announced to the public that there's coming crises. They've announced what they're doing. They've added 5 million underground units. It'll be completed here shortly, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the Chinese have done the same.
Very interesting. It is a whole different psychology.
And see, I read and speak Russian. I speak Russian badly, but I read it fairly decently, and I follow the Cyrillic press, and there's a lot of stuff going on there that is just simply not reported here. So,
okay, we'll be right back. Thank you.
In 2010, millions of people were awakened to the question of what. Now the next question that remains to be answered is, why in the world are they spraying? An investigative look into one of the many agendas associated with chemtrail geoengineering programs, weather control. Why in the world are they spraying? Premiering and streaming live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying? Order your copy today at www.whyintheworldarethespraying.com. Watch the premiere live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
As many of you know, I promote my bullion business, Drockton Bullion, on a regular basis. I created Drockton Bullion to make sure that you were prepared for the economic collapse that will shortly befall not just the United States, but literally the entire globe. As you know, silver has increased in value almost 1,000% since 2000, and gold has gone up at least 600%. Drockton Bullion specializes in helping you find everything from 90% silver coins that were minted before 1964, 0.999% pure silver rounds, silver eagles, gold bars, gold coins, and everything else that you need for your bullion needs. But more importantly, you get me, Paul Drockton, to consult with, to talk with, to help you, to guide you through the purchasing process. Totally, Drockton Bullion has made millions in sales, my friends. We know what we're doing, and we can help you.
The Ten Commandments. Here's my problem. Why are there ten? I think the list of commandments was deliberately and artificially inflated to get it up to ten. Here's what they did. About 5,000 years ago, a bunch of religious and political hustlers got together to try to figure out how to control people, how to keep them in line. They knew people were basically stupid and would believe anything they were told, so they announced that God had given them some commandments. Up on a mountain, when no one was around, God had given them the Ten Commandments. Why ten? Why not 9 or 11? I'll tell you why. Because 10 sounds official. They knew if it was 11, people wouldn't take it seriously. It's a political document artificially inflated to sell better. 10 is the basis for the decimal system. It's a decade at the top 10, the 10 most wanted, the 10 best dressed. So having 10 commandments was really a marketing decision.
Critics and fans alike are calling the latest book by Sean David Morton, Sands of Time, amazing. 5 stars. A soaring adventure. Better than anything by Dan Brown and James Patterson by far. A sweeping, epic masterpiece. Incredible true story of Dr. Ted Humphrey and his involvement with Area 51, the Dulce Wars, the Montauk Project, and his meteoric rise to become head of an all-powerful shadow government engaged in a desperate above-top-secret race against time to save the world. Sands of Time is truly remarkable, a rare and precious look look behind the curtain of New World Order super technology with enough hard science to convince even the most cynical skeptics. From the Philadelphia Experiment and Roswell to teleportation and time travel, Sands of Time solves the mysteries that have been baffling the world for 70 years, proving that all we have come to accept as reality is wrong. Sands of Time by award-winning author Sean David Morton, available exclusively as a signed first edition hardback only at StrangeUniverseRadio.com. Read this fantastic book and never be the same.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Our hero claims a warrior's heart.
This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we've just been talking to John Moore, and Cliff High's been on the line. I believe he's still there. Cliff, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Excellent. And Mike Harris, and both Mike Harris and John Moore are radio talk show hosts on Republic Broadcasting, and they have been talking about their sources for information leading to what appears to be either what some are calling Nibiru, specifically Dr. Deagle and John Moore, and or what Mike Harris is calling a planet-sized object that they've been told by sources is headed inside our solar system around the asteroid belt at this time, supposedly arriving here around August 17th, and then causing possibly tsunamis and earthquakes, etc. However, Cliff High has been giving us some science that may dispute that, and it may be that the military is actually putting out a story, a cover story, to misdirect certain kinds of interest, but on some level trying to notify people to warn them. What do you think
about that theory? If I can intrude, Carrie, there's one other possibility we need to consider, and this is the really nasty part of it all, right?
Sure.
What if it's an attempt to sweep a network? Okay, what if they want to know who says what to whom? I used to do this all the time in the early part of the Internet, was run propagation studies to see how rapidly descriptions about people and so forth would propagate throughout the Internet, so I could put it in with my bots and figure the math and stuff. So someone may want to know, if we put out a story here and these people pick it up, who else is going to pick it up? Who's associated with whom that we don't know about yet?
Absolutely. Well, this has definitely crossed my mind. I've seen it as a possible psyop. The fact that a lot of the information has come specifically from Mike Harris, who I've got on the line here, and he can speak for himself when I'm done with this statement. But Mike Harris, with all due respect, as I put on my blog today, is something of a neophyte in this sector in terms of conspiracy and specifically with regard to off-planet visitors, etc. But he's recently been asked to join a somewhat exclusive group called the Adamus Group, and he, along with Gordon Duff, are members of this group. My understanding is that Mike, it is very possible that they ceded information to Mike specifically to vet him in a certain way, to watch his behavior, to see how he handled it, and then to see who he sent it out to and how they handle it and so on. In other words, kind of a test run, which I think in some ways Ellen in last year and what was called Y-255 with Hoagland was also a similar sort of hunting exercise or tracking exercise, whatever you want to call it. That's very, very possible. I know, Mike, you trust your group implicitly. I do get that impression. What do you say to all this?
Well, you know, maybe I'm the biggest dope in the world and I'm being played for a fool. That's entirely possible. One of my greatest flaws in life is I am extremely gullible. And that's very possible. But like I said earlier, if you come across this kind of information, and if that's the exercise that's going on, then fine. But if it's real information and we can use it to save lives, then it's worth the risk. And my reputation means less to me than saving someone else's life. And that's just how I look at it. So, but I would like to go back to one of Cliff's earlier comments about the helical nature of how the planets follow the sun in a spiraling nature. I've been reading the work of, what's his name? The German physicist.
Velikovsky?
Walter Schauberger. Schauberger's work. And everything that Schauberger states is based on this. If you follow Schauberger's work, and if we're entering into an area of the universe that is denser than the previous area, that's going to force a compaction of the trailing objects behind the sun. It's going to bring those objects in closer proximity to each other. And so that's just an observation that I gleaned out of Schauberger's work, that as you condense this spiral from a very wide spiral to a much more narrow spiral because of the density of the environment that the sun and the solar system is passing through, that's one of the effects. So, like I said, I don't know what I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend to have expertise on things that I don't have adequate knowledge about.
I need to also speak up in your defense, though, okay? Because you have mentioned something that is a possibility, and we've got to be open to this because there's some weird stuff out there. What I say is about the an organic body entering the solar system that would be even moon-sized would be true relative to the charge. Okay. Also, the Dr. Bott's model, the helical model, and the dense solar interstellar media prevents things from coming into solar systems. Solar systems are very much like cells with a cell wall around them. That's why the Voyager spacecraft have not yet left our cell, is because they can't get through it, because nobody anticipated it, because they didn't know it existed, because we'd always sampled space in between the planets, which is a vacuum, because our sun is going so fast it creates that vacuum. Now, there is one exception to the idea of a charge issue or a planetary issue involved. For instance, there's no comet that ever leaves our solar system. This is and the Russians have confirmed this to me. I made this statement on radio, and then there was this nice Russian astrophysicist that sent me some very classified work, some ephemerae that proved from their mathematics on five comets that they stay within our solar system. Halley's, everybody, they never leave our solar system. They just orbit in areas that we can't see them. And I can explain that. But another issue, though, you're the saving grace to all of this, or the weird part of it is, it could be an artificial thing, okay? Because then all the rules don't apply. We've seen these huge things near the sun. I've got my 3D glasses here. I've seen some weird craft that have electrical issues traveling through space and have figured out different ways of dealing with them that as they pass over. I've caught glimpses of these things. So I've seen some really strange stuff. So I can't rule out the idea that an artificial body would not necessarily cause these effects. However, here's the other part of that. If you had an artificial body, a spaceship in essence, that didn't have to worry about the electrical charge and could scoot about independent of the helical nature and could catch up with us, then why should it cause any kind of gravitational problems at all? If it has woven itself through our solar system without causing any kind of gravitational issues, why should it suddenly cause them? So it's kind of a six of one, half a dozen of another issue. And you're talking to somebody who does not think the moon is natural. I believe it to be an artificial structure.
Well, Cliff, I agree with you on that one. And the orbit of the moon is too perfect. And it's too well placed, and we never see the dark side of the moon, and it seems like it was guided and placed there for some reason.
And it's older than the Earth, and there's stuff there that, yeah, exactly. And I've seen some weird stuff with the goggles coming off of the moon, so yeah.
Well, and I've remote viewed some beings on there and definitely know that it to be hollow. But I'm a little more interested in Phobos myself. I think that at this moment, though, what we're talking about, it could be a sort of cross between the two, if you will, and work with me on this, Cliff. But, Mike, I also want you to pay close attention and see what your responses are. In other words, that we're talking about a moon-like object that could be similar to Phobos, which is a command and control center that I have been told about by multiple whistleblowers that I trust and that makes perfect sense to me on an intuitive level. And what is happening is that this is an object that looks and acts like a natural object, but it is being manipulated. And it is possibly also being piloted from within. and therefore whether or not it perturbs other bodies, whether it's perturbing them right now in the asteroid belt, I don't know, and I don't know if we have telescopes that are able to see that kind of thing. But if indeed it is that kind of a body, and it is, in other words, an artificial looking like a natural moon type of object, then we have sort of a more complex problem. Maybe it perturbs
something. You've got another issue, though, Carrie, and that is the following. We can no longer assume, we know what we don't, what we know, but we know that our area of non-knowledge is huge, but there are hints, and some of the hints that come through are staggering. For instance, the hint that we can't see things from any spot in our horizon off of our planet has shrunk down to zero because the military has so many telescopes up there that they donated their two unused ones to NASA.
Okay. Well, I think it's a given that there's a secret space program. It's a given that they really do know the answers to all these questions we're out here talking about.
Yes, and I've seen them actually in activity up here. You see the little triangle craft and the huge whatever the hell that they're feeding, you know, these big giant ships that they move to and from, and then the space aliens that they run from.
Okay. But so what we're trying to do here is we're working blind because they have imposed that situation upon us.
You're making the assumption, though, that the... You're making the assumption, though, that there is some kind of an object and then trying to come up with a rationale that would explain how it could exist. And I'm going the other way in saying that...
I think this is very interesting. Yes, obviously, your theory is that there's no object at all and that we live in this helical, as you're calling it, solar system. But actually, I'm not sure how that relates to the Dark Rift, for example. I'm not sure how that relates to what Paul LaViolette talked about, which is a super wave coming from the galactic center. These are other things that I'm told that are also playing into this situation at this time. In other words, it's a complex moving target. It's not as simple as it's not a planetary object, and therefore it's only because of the kind of system we live in.
No, I understand what you're saying. But I'm saying that if you don't understand, or if you're approaching things from a heliocentric model, then you're going to make certain assumptions that are not true. And those assumptions can really impact things. Even like Paul Violette's primal wave theory runs into some issues if the interstellar media is not a vacuum. And we know it's not a vacuum.
Well, Cliff, you've just touched on the key here, and the key to this is what assumptions are you basing your conclusions off of? If you change one assumption, you change the entire conclusion that you've come to, and that's really where this thing is fluid, and we have to remain flexible in our mindset so that as new information or different information comes along, we can adapt it to something that hopefully represents a more accurate representation of reality.
I understand that, but my point in the whole thing is that if there was an idea that a real briefing had occurred, I would expect multiple sources. If I saw multiple sources, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I'd be packing and heading for the hills because I know how these things progress. I also know that we face real issues in a short period of time from... whatever source, and it's immaterial to me, whatever is going to cause what I've called the global coastal event. It doesn't matter to me whether it's a sun expulsion or whether it's incoming material from the asteroid belt because our cone has shrunk and we're thus closer to it, et cetera, et cetera. I just don't, it's not material because I know what the effects will be. But I also know that between now and then there's going to be a series of rising points of panic and attempts by the powers that be to use this panic for their own purposes. And so we need to be very, very diligent and think about things like this before offering them up with any sense of authority.
Well, Cliff, I hope I've been very careful and that I've not spoken out of turn, because I'll be the first one to admit I don't know what I don't know. This is information that was given to me, and I'm just relaying it as closely and as accurately as it was given to me. So that's,
okay. Let me address one aspect of this. The fact that you, Mike, and you can talk to this have had some death threats, at least in part, associated with this information. And other parties have as well. I'm not going to name their names, but you
okay,
know.
Okay, can I ask about that, though? Can I ask a pertinent question
sure.
about that? What form
go
did
right
these
ahead.
Death threats take? Someone come on up and talk to you? Were there shots fired?
Well,
what's the actual form?
One of my sources that I was talking to said that you can't go public with all of this because if you do, your car's going to blow up with you inside of it.
Okay.
that was
a warning. That was not a death threat.
Yeah.
Let's be real clear about what's going on here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I call it a warning.
And if that's from the same source, we can't assume that it's in any way valid. He's just trying to be self-referentially, with a certain amount of integrity for his own information. So if you're being played, that would be exactly what would occur. You know, we'll tell you this much, but if we tell you more, we gotta kill you.
I'll be the first guy. Maybe I'm being played. I will confront that head on and say, you know, hey, but so what? I've made a fool of myself many times.
I'm sorry, sir. You missed my point.
It's a little more serious than that. What we've got is we're trying to inform the public. We're trying to get information out there that they can take on board and then plan their lives and possibly saving their lives, as you rightly said in the beginning, Mike. In other words, it is serious information. It's not just casual information. They have people leaving the coastline. I live near the coastline. I'd have to get up and change my entire life to accommodate information if it's correct. I haven't done so yet. I'm not getting any intuitive take on what's happening right this second yet that tells me to go. But I'm waiting for that, by the way. But nonetheless, I think that it is crucial information, and we need to take it very seriously. I appreciate that Mike's willing to put himself on the line for the sake of the possibility that this is true. I know that John Moore is also a conscientious individual, as he's just been on my show a few minutes ago, and I'm sure you could tell talking about a source within the military who's people that are getting briefed. Now, I don't think that's a lie. It's very likely those military people are being briefed. Whether or not they are then going out there and telling others, or whether they sign a non-disclosure and they're afraid for their lives, what kind of promises they're being made by the military, what kind of threats are being made by the military, I don't know. I haven't been in that position. Cliff, can you tell me if you sign a non-disclosure agreement, you go out and you become a source of information to people, regardless of you're saving their lives or you're not, what do they do to you?
Well, it's a legal issue. See, they're not going to kill you. It has no real bearing on it, and the fact that it's a legal issue means that it's years involved.
Why don't you tell that to my whistleblower who just got killed recently?
That's different. That's different, okay?
Why is
the whistleblower didn't sign a non-disclosure and walk away and blab it. Oh, he did?
Yeah, he's an ex-military guy, sure.
Okay. But I'm saying for dependents and stuff, okay, because I've been in that situation. They don't have you sign non-disclosures. I mean, they may just, for a psychological thing because they've got those psychological clues going on. But the issue of the briefings is so hugely fraught with complexities that you can't just assume that the thing occurred. I mean, what was told, the science that they were being told, if it's inaccurate, does it matter?
You think John Moore is getting inaccurate? Okay, we're going to have to be right back and continue this. Thank you so much, you guys.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Are you completely fed up with being dependent on those fat cat electricity monopolies that raise your rates again and again? Are you terrified about how you'll keep your home and family safe when a power crisis happens? 123/power.com has set up a free video presentation that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they are, incompetent lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. The video at 123/power.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret to slash your power bill and beat the electricity monopoly for good. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123/power.com and discover one weird trick to cut your power bill and protect your home. Easy to remember, 123/power.com. Go watch the video now before they shut it down. Again, that's 123/power.com.
You, as a free, beautiful, independent human being with inalienable rights, own yourself. As a result, you can do what you want with your own body and own the product of your labor. The implication is that it is morally wrong to initiate force against someone else or their property because to do so is to violate their rights. Therefore, all human interactions should be free of force, fraud, and coercion, and people should be free to exercise their rights limited only by respect for the rights of others. When you learned don't hit and don't steal, it wasn't unless you work for the government. When you learned thou shalt not kill, it wasn't unless your dear leader gives you a gun and a uniform and a one-way ticket to the other side of the world. Government is force, an opinion with a gun. And force is a poor substitute for persuasion. Governments frighten us into thinking we need them. But with knowledge, philosophy, and technology, we are empowering ourselves and each other to have the courage to move past the paradigm of statism and restrain government to only moral uses of force, at least until we replace it with the cooperative free market solutions that will soon render it obsolete.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, they completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Warning. Warning.
America.
Warning.
American Freedom Radio
is habit-forming.
American Freedom Radio
is habit-forming.
Use the truth carefully.
Your life as it has been is over.
Don't miss the middle chamber of Greater X on AMR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central.
Is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Mike Harris. John Moore has had to go to sleep to get ready for his radio show at something ridiculous like 4 in the morning. I don't even know. And Cliff High is also on the radio with us. Thank you so much, Cliff, for doing this very impromptu discussion.
No problem. So, hey, if I could quickly explain a couple of my perspectives here, it'll get it out of the way. When the Cuban Missile Crisis happened, that was a period of time when, in 1962, when we had a very tense period, the whole country was in jitters for weeks ahead of it. And then we rushed into the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I was in a position to watch the military react to that. And they didn't give briefings the way where they would come on out and tell you what was going on. The military reacts the way they always do things. They give orders, you obey. Ours is not to reason why, ours is but to do and die. That's the main function of the people in the military, at all levels up and down. Dependents understand this, and they react that way. Now, it's been a long time since the 60s, and I haven't had any contact, and I'm sure the military has changed, but there's a core level of it there that doesn't. And so when they give briefings, they would come on in. I could buy them come on in and saying, okay, people, you've got 6 hours, grab this, that, and the other, and meet this bus. And then that's how they do it. They don't come in and say, maybe you're going to have 2 weeks, maybe you're going to have this. They tell you explicit instructions because there's no point otherwise. They give you actionable information when they want you to act, and otherwise they don't tell you anything. That's the way the military is.
Mike, you had a couple comments.
Well, I did, and that was John's comment there about the briefing. That's not what I was my issue. That was his, so I won't address that. But John and I talked earlier today after we did a 2-hour show this morning on Republic, and then we spoke this afternoon, and he said he had confirmed with naval personnel, excuse me, on the West Coast, that they were under orders to move heavy equipment out of to higher ground. That's what his term was.
Sure, I would buy that. That makes a lot of sense. I've seen all kinds of huge military activity out here. We've got giant helicopters, those double rotor things, hauling stuff all inland as far as they can. I'm quite certain because of the direction they're flying.
Well, I made other inquiries, and my inquiries led me to Army activity, which is happening around the Colorado Springs area where Fort Carson is, the Air Force Academy is there, et cetera. And I came across some other things as well, and they're not related. I don't see a direct relation to this discussion, but the fact that I was told that the Colorado fires were started by the use of accelerant. That's why they spread so fast and so quickly. And that was used as cover to move heavy equipment in and around that part of Colorado. And I've been trying to nail that down.
It doesn't make any sense to me, but because the military does things out in the open, guys. I mean, I'm sitting here watching in a military zone as they do things. I was talking to a couple of people, and we were sitting over at Lure Beach watching the eagles and the herons and stuff feed on Nisqually Reach, and we saw and heard a 1,000-car train leave a military base and head to east. So they don't do things secretly. I mean, that thing rumbled through here for probably 5 hours, and they are moving stuff. But in my opinion, they're doing it in anticipation of next year, not anything immediate. And that was my whole issue. Now, there's one other aspect of this. If we're going to have a body in here, artificial or otherwise, that's going to be here in August, and it's going to cause any kind of problems, I hate to tell you, if it can cause problems in August, it should be causing them right now. That's only 30 days out.
I agree with that. If it's a natural, if it's a natural body, now, we just don't know that.
Correct. And if it's not natural, we've got another entirely different paradigm in which we're going to have to deal with.
Well, let me go ahead and finish my other revelation that I found out, and that was that the U.S. military is training Russian troops in Colorado as we speak. The special forces are training them. I confirmed this from a high-level colonel-type guy, and that they're being trained to fire on U.S. citizens if things don't go the way they plan. So,
and where is this? Where is this that's being done?
In the Colorado area.
You got to be more specific. You can't say Colorado. What military base? What units? You know, I mean, don't give me a general idea. I'm sorry, sir, but vague information at this point doesn't help us.
I don't wish to be evasive with you, but I'm giving you as little as I know, and that's what I was told. So
okay, well, if you read the Cyrillic press, there's nothing in there hasn't been any information in any of the Russian press anywhere about contingents of Russian troops being sent to the U.S. And it should be all over Russian information.
There's a lot of intel out on the internet right now, and I've been getting it from individuals as well, saying that there were Russian troops on hand when this in Aurora. When this thing came down with the shooter, et cetera.
Yeah, my point, Kerry, though, is that Russia is a different kind of a society, and they do things in a way that, because I understand the Russian language and I read it and I'm teaching myself more and I read all of their press, where are any indications in the Russian press that they're sending their troops out of country?
Okay,
you wouldn't believe what they go through when they do this.
It's been taken down several times today. It's taken down again now. I've been to Russia, and I appreciate your background there, Cliff. And you also have a very fascinating background with regard to Germany and early wartime, I guess you might say, post-wartime. But as far as this goes, I've also got a source, an NSA guy, who is reporting to me. I've been posting it on my blog the last few days. My whistleblower, the contact who was in contact with this NSA guy, got a death threat over the phone, known certain terms, a description of a very close family member who, a child, et cetera, proving that they were able to do whatever it is they were threatening to do, et cetera, you would have called this, a warning. I call it.
No. That would be a threat. That would be a threat. I would grant you that. A threat perceived is a threat received, yes.
Okay, and told on no uncertain terms to stop communicating with me and to stop pursuing this matter. At the same
and is
time,
he still communicating with you?
Yes. Well, he will be. But let me tell you what happened. Interesting enough, and the trouble is it gets into the area of psyops again, because what happened was the NSA guy was finally contacted. His wife was very upset. I mean, you can imagine they were in kind of a panic. He finally kind of broke protocol, got in touch with the guy in a certain way that he had to follow. The NSA guy finally got back to him, who was in somewhere. Well, we don't know where he was, but was called back to Washington, D.C. after he gave us my contact, this information that I then posted. And basically they were told to stand down. The word came back that they were just acting on protocol and following, sort of orders according to if something is released, then they go after the person who's releasing it, et cetera. So that was stopped. But the fact that it was stopped means that our contact, the NSA guy, is somehow being allowed to release this information. And this is where it gets complex. Now, this is not someone who has come forward and said about anything about the body coming in that Mike's reporting. But he is reporting the heavy movement of equipment, the fires in Colorado that were set. I have witness testimony as well as to those as people setting them in Colorado. This is posted on my website. So what's happening is he said that it was the heavy equipment that was being moved was coming interdimensionally and through a dimensional door, from what I understand, which is actually what they're really referring to was a very large craft, extremely large.
Okay, but Kerry, all right, then it begs the question, why didn't they just have the interdimensional door open up wherever the hell they want the craft to go? Why bother popping it out over Colorado where you have to have all this smoke and fire and stuff and then moving it through the air to someplace?
You know
what I'm saying?
I'm trying to get access to interview this witness so that I can ask my own questions. I've only got what I've got. He is also saying that movement through the rift is going to be something they consider major, but he was talking about something imminent, and that's partially why they were going forward. Again, we don't know if this is a psyop. We don't know if this information is being seeded to only certain individuals for a purpose, and then the appropriate death threats to sort of cement the fact that they mean business, and so that people take them seriously, et cetera. In other words, it's all a problem. It's a huge problem. Mike, I know your source is in foreign intelligence. You also told me that he was now afraid for his life. Is that not right?
Yes, he is. And, in fact, he disclosed to me today that he's going to be stepping down from his position because the stress level on him is getting too big, too great to bear.
And this is about the incoming object, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And see, here's the thing. The hell of all of this is that I grant you that we're facing a really nasty period of time. I just don't think it's going to happen in August. And I'm of the opinion that the mechanisms are clearly described in an easy fashion, and we don't have to postulate any of this other stuff. What is curious to me, though, is why the Council on Foreign Relations did such heavy-duty sweeping instantly after the Aurora shooting incident of the net, and why the traffic jumped, and then why all of these different kinds of rumors about incoming objects. It's almost as though as they're getting ready to run some kind of a War of the Worlds kind of scenario in anticipation of getting everybody herded up.
Project Bluebeam, which I had live event talking about just a few days ago, that Courtney Brown was part of, had some contentious discussion in that regard, especially, I have to say. Very interesting. There's also this sudden melting in Greenland. I'm sure you've seen the news.
Sure. And it's not unexpected, actually. I see. We've been planning for a lot of this because, look, the jet stream has stopped moving. They killed the Gulf, which concentrated all the heat in the Gulf, and it's now gone into the main part of the country. And it's not going away. And this they're trying to engineer certain things to occur. The thing is, Kerry, if I let my mind go really crazy about this, I would say that they is some kind of an alien presence on the other side of whatever human monsters are their collaborators, and that we are being alien engineered, what with chemtrails, Morgellons, and all this other weird stuff, right? It is so fantastic, though, that, you know, it's all speculation and so on. And so what I've got to deal with is the fact that, well, Courtney Brown's material and the elegance with which that experiment was designed, and then my subsequent remote viewing experiments, as well as supporting information from the Russians, especially relative to how the solar system is organized and what they're doing, tells me that we need to make very serious, practical plans to save our lives beginning sometime in December, but in an unknown fashion, or unknown period relative to that December date. It might be February, which is when these first near-Earth objects are going to be passing. It might be slightly earlier than that. There's some indications that we're going to get some stuff in March, but we know, according to the remote viewing experiments, that the time, if you think of it with the multiple timelines, that all of them suffer something that occurs by June 1. Now, I don't buy a multiple time stream view of reality, but that does not stop me from having corroborating view that also says by sometime in June, probably, and I think it'll happen earlier than that, we will go through this first of these three waves.
Okay. Mike, you have something to say?
Well, yeah, I do, and that is to Cliff's conclusion that somehow the entire human race is being manipulated at this time. And I've come to the similar conclusion based on my personal experiences and the studies that I've done over a number of years that there is an alien presence on this planet. And I've been told that there's not one, but there's two competing alien presence on this planet that are vying for control of the herd, if you will. And that's what I've, that is my own supposition. So
I appreciate that, and I have been told that there are multiple races involved as well, and Camelot's been on this trail for quite some time now. Both of you, thank you so much for basically discussing this and being so open as to do so, you know, calmly and with consideration. I think it's the kind of discussion we need to have right now.
Oh, sure, Carrie, with respect, always with respect. I mean, I need to say that I'm... in no way disrespectful of anybody.
Let me go ahead and interject something here to Cliff. Cliff, I've been reading your stuff for years. I'm a big fan. I never, ever thought I'd be able to talk to you on the radio. I'm delighted to do so. And quite frankly, I'm enjoying the conversation. And I feel like I didn't prepare to talk with you about any of these issues. And I feel woefully inadequate this evening on this discussion.
Hey, dude, I'm sorry about that.
With all due respect to both of you, I think you should prepare as much for me, Mike, as you do for Cliff. But, you know, I'm not going to take offense too much on that note, but I appreciate what you had to say to Cliff.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate it. And we do have stuff coming that's going to cause problems for us.
No problem. But let me just interject a couple things here for both of you. One is the remote viewers can be influenced. I really appreciate, I spent a lot of time with Courtney Brown. He didn't want to bring this on board. He wanted to believe that simply would not be the case. I understand that he has a lot of belief in his viewers. I also believe that he's protecting them. I believe he's protecting himself. I believe his information he's not releasing. I believe he's also being pressured by the military, either overtly or covertly. And so all of this plays into the information that he's released so far.
Sure. Do you have a minute here, though?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a minute left?
We definitely have time.
Okay. Let me say that he was a bald guy, and I trust bald guys implicitly, but I verify everything, right? Because you can get two bald guys together and you get something that looks like a plumber's butt crack, or you can get a good idea out of it. So I examined his data, and I used his people in Hawaii to create an experiment of my own. The experiment, the way in which I designed it, provided me both with validity that their view was accurate of the moment as well as the potential for the future. Okay, I'm not going to go into the details because it reveals too much to potential enemies. But I will tell you that the way in which I designed this experiment, I was designing it to fail. I was placing obstacles that they couldn't overcome, and they blew my socks off.
Okay, we're going to have a short break here, and then we got 15 minutes or less on the show. I do want to address that when we come back. Thank you so much for that, Cliff. That's great. Really good information.
In 2010, millions of people were awakened to the question of what. Now the next question that remains to be answered is, why in the world are they spraying? An investigative look into one of the many agendas associated with chemtrail geoengineering programs, weather control. Why in the world are they spraying? Premiering and streaming live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying? Order your copy today at www.whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com. Watch the premiere live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
I want to tell you about something really, really cool. It is silvercoins.ag. Now, AG is the symbol for silver on the periodic table of elements. Silvercoins.ag is the new website for cheap silver coins. Silvercoins.ag automatically surfs popular online retailers for silver coin bargains based on the minute-to-minute fluctuations of the silver market. Silvercoins.ag focuses on silver purchases from $5 to $50, but of course, big junk silver bags and monster boxes are available too. Purchases can generally be done using a credit card or even PayPal, so you have multiple layers of buyer protection. Silvercoins.ag has no annoying salesmen. Silvercoins.ag has live streaming metal prices, so you don't have to refresh your browser all day long. Stop the endless web surfing for the best silver coin deals, because now you can visit and bookmark silvercoins.ag. I use it. I want all your friends to use it. You tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Could it all be a bad dream or a nightmare? Based on preposterous notions and on ideas whose time should never have come, preventive war is used as a road to peace. Tolerance delivered by government guns, an empire replacing the republic, slavery sold as liberty, socialism to save capitalism, a government out of control, unrestrained by the Constitution, the rule of law, or morality. Money does not grow on trees, nor does prosperity come from a government printing press or escalating deficit. A central bank that deliberately destroys the value of the currency in secrecy, without restraint, cheered on by the pseudo-capitalists of Wall Street, the military-industrial complex. The good news is the reversal is achievable through peaceful and intellectual means, and fortunately, the number of those who care are growing exponentially.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy is the Vinny Eastwood Show. In a world so full of madness and chaos, don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts. Weekdays 5 to 7 Central on American Freedom Radio.
This is very fascinating.
You
radio, and we are just zipping in here during the commercials just as quickly as we can, just to use up every moment. Cliff, are you still with us?
Sure. Yeah.
Excellent.
What I wanted to say was the Courtney Brown experiments had me thinking about the quality of the remote viewing, whether your point, whether they could be influenced, because I was of that opinion as well. And my big obstacle with the whole thing was, how did they get their normal ego, humanness out of the way to be a vehicle to accurately bring information back? And I have been out of the loop, and I was aware of the history of remote viewing and so forth, but had never really studied the methodology before. And so this is my first exposure to it. But I designed the experiment in ignorance that turned out to be very accurately positioned to validate both the individual viewers in the Hawaii Remote Viewers Guild, because I was absolutely shocked about the level of material they could bring back from a random number, because that's what they were given as their target seed. And I'll tell you enough to let you know why I feel this way. I used part of the experiment. I didn't use just them, by the way. I used a group out of Belgium as well. And this group in Belgium is unique in several respects that I can't go into without betraying who they are, but they're also remote viewers. But in any event, we get the same results that Courtney had, but in one case I had myself as a target. And I wanted to know what conditions. You know, I was greedy. I want to know, what am I going to live in by June of next year? And we got the view that supports an impact in the southern hemisphere, because it's not a giant wave rushing up here into the northwest. It is earthquakes, it's wind, it's weather. So violently, by the way, the earthquakes and so on, that the remote viewer almost ended the session out of nausea. That's the kind of stuff they were getting.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Let me just say that I have studied remote viewing, and I've done it myself and been successful at it. Been able to test things like remote viewing the front page of the New York Times or whatever, and checking it then the following morning. But at any rate, I've studied it as well as, and I would highly recommend Ingo Swann's website, which is called BioMind Superpowers. If you've never been there and never read his history of remote viewing, I highly encourage you to do so. But let me say that there is a possibility that their viewers could be influenced. I did suggest it offhand. I know Courtney doesn't appreciate that. It's kind of neither here nor there. I believe that we're going to find out, and that's what matters. What is interesting is that there are military groups that are using remote viewers on a regular basis, as you can all appreciate, and they are definitely getting information that, of course, is not, at least to my knowledge, being seeded out to the general public. So it's a very interesting playing field. I'm going to unmute this caller in case it's Stu Webb. I've been told we have extra time if you guys want to stay on longer. Danny, the owner of the station, American Freedom Radio, would give us some extra time because of the seriousness of this subject matter. So it's up to you guys. I don't mean to prevail upon you if you're unprepared for this and you don't feel that you can stay longer, but we can allow for that. Is this Stu Webb on the line, area code 816?
Carrie, I really wasn't wanting to give any opinion of this. I've heard I was told tonight you were having these gentlemen on here and going into the subject and talking about this August thing, so I was asked to listen to it. That's the reason I'm on it.
Okay,
but I will.
You didn't have anything to say to us, Stu?
I will tell you this, that I'm aware of one thing that nobody's brought up tonight, that on December the 22nd, we got a planetary alignment. Now, according to a top-level source in government, and they told me this no more than probably about 2 years, a year and a half ago, that they weren't able to see, that the government is not able to see, through that super collider in Switzerland, and they've had that up and running for quite a while, and they're able to see into galaxies now and do it in a split seconds of time and so forth that we've never been able to see. They're claiming that there's an alignment of the planets in our solar system that has been taking place and started. A lot of people say it started here in June. It may have started before. But they're saying on December the 22nd, 2012, we're supposed to be in a big planetary alignment. And we're supposed to be in the form of a big cross, which is very interesting to be in a cross. I said, what do they see in
there?
They cannot, a cross.
That's not top secret, though. That's commonly known. Go ahead.
Now, I mean, it's been known for a while, but it was told to me probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, that they saw this, which is very interesting. So what does that bring us as far as time frame on what these gentlemen are talking about and what your subject matter is tonight about this August of time frame and so forth? And, I mean, there is a lot of information out there. I've been looking at this Nibiru, looking at the Wormwood subject, looking at the Planet X, so forth, Dark Star, they call a new Nibiru or whatever it is. A lot of interesting stuff out here. A lot of people are pointing in the time frame of this October for this planet to be passing by us. So, I mean, we've got a lot of things that are going to happen. We all know that. But, as far as panic, I really didn't even want to come on here. I'm just saying it because you unmuted the mic. But as far as panic in this country, we all need to keep our heads on. I mean, we all should plan because if this happens, there's going to be some definite tidal waves and there's going to be some stuff coming along these coastal lines that around this country. And we should look at that. Also should be aware of, zones in the Midwest for earthquakes and things like that. I wouldn't advise going to St. Louis, Missouri, as an example, if you're thinking about moving from the coast, because then you'd be sitting on that big fault down there. So we do have a lot of problems coming, but I'll leave it at that.
Stu, are you talking from the point of view of any of your sources giving you information about these times, or are you just generalizing in general?
These come from sources. I've had sources for a number of years, high-level sources, and they've been pretty damned accurate over the years. And these are coming from not only the scientific. This is people that have been in Area 51 and people inside the government high up, all different levels, are saying the same thing. The end of this year is a turning point for planet Earth. What it means, nobody can tell, because they cannot see past that time frame, which they've been able to see in the space-time for quite a while. So,
this is where the Courtney Browns remote viewers are seeing into 2013. There is an interesting, I do think that there is something of a hurdle between now and around January of 2013, where perhaps there is kind of a block there. I know that Stead Dames used to talk about a block his viewers were encountering, his military remote viewers. Okay, Mike, in terms of your source, you said he was about to leave his job because of the pressure. This is completely surrounding the information that he's told you, though, regarding August 17th, is it not?
I asked him that directly, and this is not an old guy. He's in his mid-40s. He's not nearly as old as the rest of us up here, but he's in his mid-40s. He's suddenly come down with some severe health issues. I just became aware of that from him today, and that he is going to take the remaining time he has to enjoy what's left of his life, because time is so short. And that's as direct as I could get him to state it.
Okay. All right, we are at a situation where we can decide to go on longer or not. Cliff High, do you want to address any of this going forward? Because, you've just released a lot of information to the public. It is an opportunity to clarify things or address
things. If you had questions, I can answer them. But, I'm an old guy, and I got to get to bed here because I get up awful early to work on my boat and stuff. I'm actively taking steps and preparing for what we have to deal with,
Hey, Cliff, just as a favor, could you go ahead and just give us a synopsis of what your conclusions are going forward?
My conclusions are the following, and they're supported in some instances by information from Russian astrophysicists. My conclusions are that we don't have a heliocentric model. We don't orbit around the middle of the sun, and that makes all the difference. We're sort of trailing behind it. As a result of this, we can see that there's denser space. The denser interstellar media that the Russians talked about a number of years ago has pushed all the planets together. The reason it hasn't altered the fixed stars has to do with how our planets are tilted relative to the sun. There is no distortion there, but we do see differences in how the planets relate to each other. This is causing the brightness in Venus. All of the supposed global warming effects on the inner planets and the outer planets are caused by all the planets being crammed together into the vacuum behind the sun, a little bit closer together. And there's more energy coming out of the sun because the sun is plowing through a denser media of space. And it's very much like a match head having, and it's actually getting its energy from the motion through the interstellar media. Friction, if you will, at that level. It's not really friction, but it's close enough to make sense. And so what's going to happen is the following. We are in a position where we don't know how long we transit this position of space. This position of space may be related to the end of the 13,000-year cycle. In other words, we may go through this denser media a couple of times in our cycle. But we're going to have to live through the effects of it, which will include impacts likely in the southern hemisphere, which will cause the global coastal event and inland flooding as well from too much rain and so on.
Where do you know? Where in the summer? That's a pretty big ballpark.
No, it's three waves. It's not a single event, Carrie. According to really solid information, there's three instances, and the Russians are preparing for this to go on until 2016.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay, now we've got to decide if we're staying on or going off.
I've got to go off. I've really got to get some stuff done.
All right. Thank you so much, Cliff. I really appreciate you coming on. Mike Harris, how do you feel?
I'll probably sign off as well. I signed up for 2 hours, and I've got to get to bed as well. But, Carrie, thank you very much. And, Cliff, really, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm just delighted to have made your acquaintance.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
As many of you know, I promote my bullion business, Drockton Bullion, on a regular basis. I created Drockton Bullion to make sure that you were prepared for the economic collapse that will shortly befall not just the United States, but literally the entire globe. As you know, silver has increased in value almost 1,000% since 2000. And gold has gone up at least 600%. Drockton Bullion specializes in helping you find everything from 90% silver coins that were minted before 1964, 0.999% pure silver rounds, silver eagles, gold bars, gold coins, and everything else that you need for your bullion needs. But more importantly, you get me, Paul Drockton, to consult with, to talk with, to help you, to guide you through the purchasing process. Totally, Drockton Bullion has made millions in sales, my friends. We know what we're doing, and we can help you.
Assassination. You know what's interesting about assassination? Well, not only does it change those popularity polls in a big hurry, but it's also interesting to notice who it is we assassinate. You ever notice who it is? Stop to think of who it is we kill. It's always people who've told us to live together in harmony and try to love one another. Jesus, Gandhi, Lincoln, John Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, John Lennon. They all said, try to live together peacefully. Bam! Right in the head. Apparently we're not ready for that. Yeah, that's difficult behavior for us. We're too busy thinking around, sitting around trying to think up ways to kill each other. Here's one we came up with. It's efficient, too. Genocide, you know? Killing large numbers of people simply because they don't look like you, they don't talk like you, and they don't have the same kind of hats you do. You ever notice that anytime you see two groups of people who really hate each other, chances are good they're wearing different kind of hats. Keep an eye on that. It might be important.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.